my Rosa, we get it. I love us.
I love us.
And once I unveil my masterpiece to the world, then maybe, just maybe, you mouth-breathing dullards who inhabit this country, then maybe you might finally get it.
And now it's time for us to unveil our masterpiece on the world, episode 43 of The Second Shift, a British perspective on all things wrestling. On this week's show, the Supersonic Second Shift news, our thoughts from this week, what wrestling taught me, a selection of emails and MP3s from you fine people, and our final thoughts for the week, and possibly a wee look at some of the TV we've been watching over the last week as well. But who do we have on the panel, I hear you ask? Well, firstly, is he tough enough? He's our version of Daredevil. Of course he's tough enough. It's Ant the Vigilante. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Not on the fucking second shift's Vigilante. That's who I am. But I'm down on my knees almost. I've been fighting the flu. So I sound a bit rough, but I'm ready.
You know, one of the toughest adversaries you're ever going to face.
It is. The man aids, or the maids as I call them, have been kicking my ass this week. But yeah, I'm winning.
Good, that's what I like to hear. Fight the good fight. Secondly, not so much tough enough, more total diva, it's Kai. How you doing?
Not too bad, pal. How are you?
I'm good, yeah, I'm good. Looking forward to getting into some of the emails stuff we've got this week, because we've got three or four kicking in, and maybe one or two going to drop as we're recording the show as well, so we'll see how that goes. And why not? Let's just get straight into the show and get straight down to business with a little bit of this.
And now, the Supersonic Second Shift News!
Okay, so this one's not going to be good because, like I said, I'm not very well. And hay fever today is terrible, so I can't see. So anyway, here is this week's Supersonic Second Shift News. GFW have had an event on Monday from Bowling Green. The highlight was when the event was interrupted by 90-year-old Doris, who exclaimed, "Get off my bowling green, I've got a game here tomorrow." Samuel Shaw is parting ways with TNA. He's been started stalking Triple H outside WWE developmental. I want to say congratulations to Jay Lethal in taking the ROH title. The guy famous for mimicking people such as Ric Flair and Macho Man has graced the top. Damian Sandow was found cry-wanking in a corner of a main event arena. Justin Gabriel has done a promo while skydiving. Unfortunately, the parachute opened. Bret the Hart calls Samoa Joe's muscle buster finisher too dangerous. Shame he didn't get saying the same thing to Owen with ziplining. Maria Menounos makes a mock Tough Enough video. I personally think she'd be perfect for that show, as she also is a fake egotistical whore who's a wannabe actress that knows nothing about wrestling.
Oh, some would say harsh.
Harsh and true. Dolph Ziggler may be leaving the WWE soon. Word is he may want to pursue his comedy career. I hope he ends up like his idols, Chris Farley and John Belushi. Adam Cole stated that WWE is not a priority to him. He made the statement whilst watching Pinocchio and stroking his Jimmy Hill chin. Hideo Itami will issue a statement regarding his NXT future on this Wednesday's show. I have an insider script here, and it reads as follows. NXT future. There you go. And finally, several second shift guests and hosts have been arrested for murder. Murdering my fucking segment. And this is how to do and was this week's Supersonic Second Shift News.
Nice. Especially that last story. Just to check, who's Bret the Hart?
Bret the Hart is the hitman of the Hart.
And it seems to have lost his hitman status going by your news.
Damn right.
So I suppose for me, a quick thing I want to bring up is the Dolph Ziggler story. What are you guys thinking about this? Do you think it's true? Do you think it's going to happen? I'll start with you, obviously, Ant, since you're bringing it up.
I think it's going to be a contract renegotiation, just simple as that.
Yeah, me too.
You know, it's just the way of getting a better deal for yourself. It's maybe a little push in the middle of it.
Absolutely. You know. Say what you want to do. Kai, do you agree with that?
Well, I texted you earlier this week when the story came out, Ian, and I said that I think that Ziggler might actually leave because you can see that he doesn't seem to be getting anywhere in WWE at the moment. He's been in that same position for a long time now. And yeah, his comedy career, if he thinks that he can take it to that next level, he might want to take a bit of a break from WWE. Like the article said, John Morrison did the same thing. And, he's doing well for himself in Lucha Underground now as well. So you never know. We could
but he's probably... He might be doing well for himself, but he's probably getting paid 50% of what Dolph Ziggler is now in the WWE.
Well, that's another thing to take into account.
And that's the thing, you've got to take that into account, not just that, any loss in merchandise sales, you know, how much is he actually going to make in terms of an income out of doing comedy, because it's not going to be a regular thing like it is the WWE, where he's out there every single week. So, you know, there's potentially a huge whack of income loss just by risking that. It's the sort of thing you're better to keep till your career's dying down and you're in the Mick Foley
position.
Well, I mean,
if that's his dream, I'm all for it. I'm all for people following their dreams and doing shit like that. You know, go do it, mate. If he's financially secure that he can say, hey, I'll take 2 years out and do it.
Yeah.
But just make sure you make things amicable when you do leave. You don't bite the hand.
Leave the door open.
Exactly. Always leave the door open for a return. Don't be a CM Punk about it.
Yeah, and I think John Morrison's actually said in the past that he's always kind of felt this left the door open so that if he ever wanted to come back, he could do, but he's quite happy to kind of stay away and do what he's doing. So
yeah, and doing some great stuff.
Absolutely, and I think we'll come back to that in one of the emails we've got in a little bit, so we'll keep that one, tuck that to the side. We're going to jump from Dolph Ziggler to, it's also been kind of rumoured that Jack Swagger's also thinking about taking the exit, making his way out of the WWE. Do you think that's more likely, or do you think it's just the same potential for a contract negotiation, Ant?
I think it's certainly more likely. He's doing nothing. He's a job squad. Well, even if you look at Ziggler, you know, Ziggler's... They've both held stuff during their careers, which is great. So if you look at their paths, they're quite similar. But if you look at Dolph's standing now as opposed to Jack's, you know, they're just completely two different contrasts.
And the way to think about that is they're both former world champions.
Exactly.
Whereas,
but now one's jobbing on main event and the other one's still on Raw. So, you know, people like Ziggler are going to piss and moan, but hey, look at the guy in main event who was an ex-world champion.
And the facts are quite simple.
If I was Swagger, I'd fuck off.
The facts are quite simple, though, that Ziggler's status is much higher placed than Jack Swagger's. Ziggler only held the world title twice for all of 3.5 seconds between the two different runs, whereas Swagger held it for a while and his status is next to nothing.
Yeah, because he's a crowd favourite. Dolph's got the crowd behind him. Swagger's never had that. I think the best thing for Swagger is go back down to the Indies, to be perfectly honest. You know, he can be a jobber for the rest of his career in WWE and they'll pay him to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think he'll want to do that. I think he could go to ROH or, dare I say it, TNA and become half of a big deal again.
So which would you say is the best fit for him?
I wouldn't tell anyone to go to TNA if I was mentoring them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a sinking ship and I do believe that. But the best fit would be a feud with Kurt Angle, wouldn't it? But I'd say go ROH.
Okay, Kai, what are your thoughts then on the Jack Swagger scenario?
Yeah, I've got to agree, really. I think ROH would be the better place. Like Kent said, I'd never suggest to anyone to go to TNA, and I've made that quite clear over the last few weeks. He's the sort of person that can stay in WWE, and I don't think they'll be cutting him anytime soon. But it's whether he wants to, and if he's got the passion to... I did this whole speech last week about passion and stuff like that, and I kept repeating it. If he's got the passion and he wants to stay in WWE, if he wants to wrestle and have good storylines, then he might be better leaving WWE. But if he wants to just pick up a paycheck and, you know, be a jobber for the rest of his career, WWE's the place to be.
Yeah, you certainly say that. Okay, any other stories that you kind of hooked onto there, Kai?
Well, the GFW thing about having an event on a bowling green, you know, I don't know.
It's not on a bowling green.
What? Was
it's not on a, it's a play. There is a place in America called Bowling Green, apparently. which made me chuckle. So,
well, that's me made a fool of now live on air. Thank you for that. Yeah, well, the fact that I don't see what's going on with GFW. Have they got a TV deal yet?
No. Well, as far as I'm aware.
They've allegedly got something, but the details are very scarce at the moment. What they're actually telling anyone. They've allegedly got something in the works, though. Yeah. And the biggest rumour is that it's likely to be Skype, but it's Skype Spike. But, you know, rumours are rumours.
Yeah.
So we'll see if we're good over time what they're likely to be doing. But the thing about GFW is it's all just talk at the moment. If we had less talk and just more of a great big grand kick start, folk would be more interested. But,
yeah, but have you seen their roster?
Well, we chatted. We played Killer with their roster a couple of weeks ago.
Very true.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
You know, it looks no better than, and I don't mean any offence to companies like this, but like LDN in London, you know, or Preston Wrestling, or you know, anyone like that. It doesn't, their roster looks no better than any of theirs. It's ridiculous. It's a terrible roster, and I don't know where, when you look at ROH compared to GFW, there's just no comparison.
Yeah, and I think this is the thing about the GFW roster. If you actually look at when they first announced the first 10 names, everybody just went, And then when they finally put out the 31 names or whatever it is that are on there now, everybody still was going, still not much better. Where's the interest? Where's the intrigue? Other than a few members of the Bullet Club, but that's the only thing that anyone's actually
just going to be on GFW.
No, exactly. They're going to be kind of shared between different rosters, so... It kind of makes you wonder is that just because of the connection between GFW and the other companies involved? Obviously, yes, most likely, but are they going to be running concurrent storylines? Are they going to be running independent, unique storylines? Oh, that comes up in the air and you start to think, it becomes a bit of a clusterfuck, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's not looking good for GFW. I hate to say that because, you know, you want to swamp the market as much as you can.
Yeah.
But it just don't. It don't intrigue me at all.
So anyway, based on that, are you going to give GFW a shot, or are you just going to wait and see what happens and see if there's any kind of talk about it afterwards?
Well, it depends. Is it even going to... I mean, I can't watch Tough Enough, so I doubt I can be able to get GFW over here without going illegal route on something. So I don't even know if I'll get it. What channel would it be on? What would it... You know, we can't get ROH over here.
No, we can't. No, absolutely.
So you know, we'll probably never see it unless we go on YouTube and things like that. So I'll probably give it a miss, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, I'll certainly wait and see nearer the time of the launch before I make my decision as to whether I'm going to give it a shot or not.
It's got to be something different. If you're going to be a new player in the market, give me something different. Look at Lucha Underground; they offer something different. You know, do something different. Bring back EC fucking W. Do something.
No, don't bring back ECW. Look what happened the last time they tried that.
I'm just trying to throw it out there. Just do something different. There's got to be something different about you that separates you from every other independent out there.
Yeah, of course.
And I don't. And at the minute, there is nothing different. So
they need to kind of combine all the elements that are missing from each of the other independents. You know, the lack of decent production quality from ROH, the lack of decent, properly running, succinct storylines from TNA, all these different things that are going on, and actually control the roster in TNA as well. The roster is just all over the place. You just look at the departures at Gunnar and Sam Shaw lately as an example of that.
That's the best thing. Jeff Jarrett could have done that. He could have put his finger in the ROH pie and it could have been amazing. I would have loved him to do that because...
There was speculation at one point that ROH were going to hook up with GFW, but then that petered away. And obviously now with the connection with Destination America and pairing it up beside TNA, that's definitely not going to happen down the line.
No. Oh, I'm all for ROH at the minute. Kudos to them. They've stuck with what they've done. Mm-hmm. They've grafted their asses off. They've had no bones thrown at them. And good on them, so...
So as a natural segue to that, with the rumours of the WWE hooking up with Evolve and Shine for future talent, are the ties between WWE and ROH, or as unofficial as they were, are they done and gone?
Well, yeah, because you're now a competitor. As soon as you step into a TV market, you are an out-and-out competitor.
And for them, it was a great source of talent.
Yeah, but the world is smaller than it's ever been. You can pluck these guys from the independents all over the world. It's not. The pool is huge, but it's so much easier to get yourself out there now. If you look at the independents, and people like fucking Grado, you know, a little fat chubby bloke from Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
He's over in TNA and doing all the independents in the American scene. Yeah. So to get yourself out there, it's not a big deal. I don't see it being a problem.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to jump to the emails, but just to say that we've, unfortunately, due to the wonders of technology, we've lost Kai.
Because he's moved back up north.
Yeah.
And they don't have... In Scotland, because you're in Edinburgh, that's like a proper city up north.
Certainly
is. You're up tut-tut north.
But
he's just up
north.
He's just up tut north.
Yeah.
And they don't... Have you ever seen Game of Thrones?
Yes, of course I have, yes.
So you and him would be north of the wall, wouldn't you? you'd be like the ice people, like,
right?
You'd be like the dead ones.
Feels like that sometimes.
I know. And Kai would be like just the little scraggly ones that.
I've actually just looked it up, and the problem is that apparently to keep any kind of internet connection going, he's got to do a hand crank at the same time as talking to us and keeping a consistent conversation going, and he obviously can't get the two going at once.
It's like being in the 1980s again, where you've got to lift the aerial in the air to get a good TV reception. But
exactly,
he's doing it with internet. Hey, Car, just lift the internet up in the air.
And at the same time, giving the side of the set a whack. That'll help it. Anyway, I'm going to jump to the emails, as I said. And first up, I'm going to go with an email from Grand M the Third. And he says to us, "Sup, fellas. So last week in the second shift, you were discussing a Seth Rollins face turn. I don't see it. I do see Seth leading the Authority, but I don't see him turning face. He needs to leave the Authority to build credibility as a champion, but there is still plenty to do as a heel, and he's good at it. He doesn't need to flip, nor does the Authority need to flip. The Rollins character is bright enough to know not to make enemies of the Authority, so it will be a clean break, maybe even with Trips and Steph taking some time off TV. As for Battleground, I believe Brock and Seth will be one and done, and I see it happening something like this. Brock and Heyman walking down a corridor, barges past Kevin Owens, knocking him out of the way. Near the end of Seth and Brock, Owens comes out, pop-up powerbomb to Lesnar. Lesnar wins the match by DQ, Seth keeps the title, Owens shocks the world and sets up Owens versus Lesnar at SummerSlam, and Seth goes on to face Roman Reigns, Ziggler or Orton or some other babyface. Anyway, that's it from me, Grand M the Third. So, two meaty topics there.
Can't beat a bit of fantasy booking, can you?
No, and right there is a perfect piece of fantasy booking. Let's just go back to the Seth Rollins FaceTime.
I'll take onus to one of the comments made, which was Rollins needs to drop the Authority to have credibility as being a champion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's nonsense. Being a champion gives you credibility. You are the champion. Don't care how you win it, by hook or by crook.
Yeah.
You are the champion. That's your credibility.
Right there.
So I disagree on that point, Grand M. The fantasy booking side, fantasy booking.
You can fantasy book your way through the whole entire roster and still miss on every single one.
Exactly. So what was he saying? That he wants to set up, basically he wants to see Owen versus Brock, doesn't he?
At SummerSlam, yeah.
I'd rather see that at WrestleMania than a SummerSlam.
I think that'd be an epic WrestleMania match, but yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, it would be. I mean, it would be. But yeah, I can't see that in an immediate future. To be honest, what do I see for Seth?
Do you see a face turn?
It's not necessary. Mm-hmm. He's too good of a heel at the minute. He's too good of a heel. Keep it going. And Brock's too good as a face.
For me, the logic's not there. I can't see all three members of the former members of the Shield being faced at the same time at the moment. Not at all.
No,
doesn't make sense.
No. But unless you see a double turn with Seth and Roman, but Roman's got his fingers in other pies at the minute, so I can't see it. I can see Roman versus Bray at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I can see that.
Ambrose, what will he be doing? I don't know. He's a bit stuck in a rut at the minute, but I don't know. Ambrose could get his wangle his way in there with Seth and Brock, maybe. I don't know.
He also mentioned Orton and Ziggler in that conversation. When obviously, he was taken for Seth, but could Ambrose see himself against Ziggler or Orton come SummerSlam?
What, Ambrose, Orton?
Yeah.
Yeah, again, it doesn't thrill me, but... yeah, I mean, I can see a whole number of angles. That's the beauty of it at the minute. You can, there's a whole multitude of different ways you can go about things at the moment, which at the minute is making wrestling so invigorating and so must-watch TV.
Absolutely, so fresh compared to where we were a year ago.
Exactly. So yeah, there's a whole array of different ways you could go about it. Yeah. I think as fans, we do tend to fantasy book, and we do tend to. What's the end game? What's the end game? What's the end game?
Yeah.
And at the minute, I'm struggling to find the end game, which is a good thing because it just makes me want to sit down and enjoy it. Which
absolutely
is what
right. And the thing is, that's when you start to get pissed off, when you start seeing the end game, and you get pissed off when you get the end game you want, or you don't get the end game that you predicted, so you're pissed off because if that's the case, if it's ambiguous, if you can't see a clear end to the storylines, then that means there's something to work towards, something to look forward to that you don't know what's around the corner. And that's what makes for more intriguing television every single time.
Absolutely. Like no one would have seen Roman Reigns getting screwed over by Bray.
No.
It's just one of, they keep throwing curveballs at you constantly throughout the year. Oh, I love
and I really like that.
Oh, Bray's doing amazing. Bray reminds me at the minute of the IWC. What right. Bray does is the IWC. So what did he have written on the walls? I wrote it down somewhere. Yeah, anyone but you. Written all over the walls. And I think Bray is like almost the incumbent. He is the psyche of the IWC.
I love that.
And yeah, that's the way I think his career should follow. Why is he getting a push? Well, you shouldn't get the champion and he should follow that path. And I think that'd be a great career path for Bray. But,
that's really interesting, and it gives a lot going forward. So therefore, you could easily set up anything with John Cena anywhere down the line whenever you want to.
Exactly.
Say Ambrose gets a hold of that title at some point, and that gives a perfect opportunity into there. So many different ways you can go.
Yeah, and you look at the guys at the minute, all the kids, the Rollins, the Ambrose, the Brays. It's I just watch wrestling and I smile now. Which I couldn't have said 6 to 8 months ago.
Absolutely,
and that's what I'm loving about it. So yeah, ultimately, I'm trying to do a roundabout way of getting to the answer, which I don't think there is one for me.
Okay, then that's fair enough, and I hope Grandem can see that we're actually considering different angles on this. But actually, there is no clear defined line to answer the questions. I mean, I personally don't think Seth Rollins can turn face at the moment, but it doesn't mean he won't. And as far as his fantasy booking goes, well, yes, that would be interesting. As you said, Dan, I'd much rather see Owens versus Lesnar at WrestleMania next year. So. Thanks, Grandem. Get in touch again next week. If you have anything else you want to bring up to our attention, that'd be good. I'm going to jump to Andy Anderson. Are you ready for this?
Does he like nickels up his ass?
Andy Anderson, allegedly.
Yeah. I think he likes more than nickels.
Well, that's a debate for another show, I think. I'll let you have that one on the sea satire.
Yep. Trio gents, AA here. I want to talk about a couple things. Number one, Dolph Ziggler. Sounds like his contract is up in a couple of months. I don't want him to go, but I could see WWE being okay to not renewing his contract as a wrestler because whenever they've given him a push, he's come up with an injury and he's subject to more concussions. And it sounds like he wants a push and he might not re-sign if he doesn't get one. What do you guys think?
I'm just going to pause that there. So we've kind of chatted about Dolph Ziggler already, and we're going to come back to Dolph Ziggler and Kata's email as well. So let's just go straight into Andy's second point. So Andy,
I just want to say, he keeps getting concussions. Then if they were worried about that, they wouldn't let him keep doing those fucking headbutts all the time.
Which I commented on last week.
Yeah, if they were that concerned with him and concussions, they wouldn't let him do it.
That's a good point.
So...
Yeah, absolutely right. And the concussion thing is getting to the point that they just pull you straight away if they really are getting concerned about concussions because it's something they don't want to get messy with anymore.
Oh, man, it's a big thing all over sports.
Yeah.
It's even at rugby now, when I got knocked on my ass a couple of months ago, it's like how's your head? You got a concussion? Can you see me? Blah, blah, blah. Straight off the pitch. You know, there's no messing about with head injuries anymore. They're in.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the second part of Andy's email, see what he's got to say there.
My other comment is that Terminator commercial with Roman Reigns in the middle of it, where they keep cutting back to him, that needs to go. I don't get that. I don't know. If you want to show a commercial, that's fine. Show the commercial. Number one, I'm sick of seeing those freaking commercials for that movie. I want to see that movie, but that I'm done with all those commercials. And then having one with Roman Reigns in it. I mean, I want him to be pushed and stuff, but that's another reason for the internet fans not to get behind the guy. What do you guys think? That's my thoughts this week. Thanks for reading this, or not reading this, but listening to this. And that's been my nickel.
I don't know how Andy works, but I don't read the MP3s normally.
No, not really. But I completely concur with him.
Yeah.
That bloody advert, I didn't get it.
It was contrived. Totally contrived.
What is going on here? I thought it was just a mess as well. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It was horrendous. But, yeah, that movie, obviously, the whole thing with Triple H and Arnie has been going on. So, yeah, as soon as that movie's over, we can move on.
I mean, I think
until the next movie. What do you reckon the next movie will be at the WrestleMania, which Triple H will plug in his ring entrance?
Oh, God knows. It's probably, maybe they're going to do something with Star Wars at the end of the year.
I was thinking Magic Mike 3.
Magic Mike 3, Kevin Nash coming down to the ring to strip his damaged legs. By then he's probably got false limbs anyway, so just add to the whole intrigue.
Scott Hall with him as well.
Hey, brother. X-Pac.
Yeah, X-Pac, love that.
China coming, crawling from the backstage.
Jesus Sean, Christ. Magic Sean. Mike 3, starring them lot.
Oh, they'll get an idea and they'll go make that now.
They will. I'll watch it, though. That's the sad thing. I'll bloody watch it.
So, yeah, I totally agree. I didn't enjoy that at all. I didn't see the point of it. I saw no connection between Roman Reigns and the Terminator. Not in any which way. What is connection? Please, somebody tell us. If you've got any idea, you can tweet us, secondshiftpod, at secondshiftpod, or you can email us, secondshiftpod@gmail.com. Tell us the connection between Terminator and Roman Reigns, because we just don't see it. It's that simple. Thanks, Andy, for your email. And I'm going to jump on to the next one now, which comes from Dermot over in Ireland.
Oh, bugger me Jesus, Dermot.
And he says, howdy, lads, what's the story? Hope you're doing well. So this week it seemed like Lucha Underground took a page straight from the DTC playbook and went for 1 hour, one topic. I thought the idea of having... What? What have you seen there, Anne?
Hmm?
Huh? What? Eh?
I thought
the idea of having the entire show just consist of one match was a great concept, and execution was even better. Prince Puma versus Johnny Mundo was an unbelievable match, and I'd highly recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen yet, even if you don't usually watch Lucha Underground or feel like you missed too much to start now. This is a great self-contained show that you can enjoy all on its own. So this got me thinking about Iron Man style matches in general, and who else I'd like to see in one in 2015. The ones that spring to mind for me personally are Kevin Owens and John Cena for the US title, or if that didn't happen, further down the line, whenever Sami Zayn is able to return, I'd love to see him and Owens face off in one to culminate their feud. But what about you guys? Who would you like to see? Cheers for reading my email, Dermot. So I want to kind of come in on that first of all, if you don't mind. And when I was watching Money in the Bank, towards the end of the Cena-Owens match, after the handshake and the beatdown from Kevin Owens, I wrote the notes quite simply saying, is this going to end up with a last man standing or an Iron Man match? So I can personally see that going ahead at some point, but whether it's this coming pay-per-view or not, I don't think it will be.
Do you reckon,
your thoughts?
I don't reckon that'd be a great match for an hour.
They don't always have to be an hour, because they've done half-hour ones as well.
Yeah, but I thought he was talking about, because the Ricochet versus John Morrison one, that's how I call him, sorry, Prince Puma versus Mundo, was a 1 hour Iron Man.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of working on that premise.
Did you see that match?
I haven't yet.
But it is worth watching.
Everyone knows my love for Ricochet, so
yeah.
I will definitely be watching that. But yeah, I don't think that would be the best 1 hour ever. I personally think Ambrose versus Rollins could do it any day.
I think
of the week.
That's the other one I would think of as well, because the matches they've put on, no matter what stipulation has been involved, have had a great story from start to finish. They've been watchable to the highest level every single time. So I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, you've got to have an amazing chemistry with a guy to go for an hour like that and put on a classic. You look at people like, okay, Kevin Owens could do that with Sami Zayn. You know, they've done similar in the past.
Yeah.
Ambrose, Rollins could do that. Piece of cake. But I can't think of many more that could. Ziggler could do a good hour.
He could, and that's to do, again, with the kind of guy he is and the way he sells. He could just keep going and going and going. He's got the fitness for it as well.
I'm actually going to say Ziggler-Rollins would be an amazing one-hour match.
That would be interesting, actually. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I think that's the one I'd probably like to see the most, actually. Yeah, I'm going to throw that one out there.
How about Big Show and Great Khali?
That would be incredible.
I like that. Rollins and Ziggler, I think, would be really entertaining.
Yeah, Rollins-Ziggler. I like the sound of that. Give me that for an hour, please.
Let's do it. Let's book it right now. Let's get it
on the card. Book it. WrestleMania, 1 hour.
Dermot, hope you like that. Let us know if you agree with us on that one. I'm going to jump to our last email, keeping Dolph Ziggler in the conversation. This one comes from Kata. And he says, "Good day, you Euro twats. I'm sorry. It's 4:30 a.m. over here. I'm cold and tired, and I thought I'd email your fine show. So, with rumours of Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler possibly leaving the company, do you care? Do you want them to stay or go? And if you think they go, where do you see them ending up? Me personally, I want them both gone. I love it when a guy who can work his ass off isn't getting the spot they feel they deserve on the roster, leaves and finds success outside of the WWE. In Dolph's case, I'm a big fan and I could definitely see him in either PWG or ROH. As for Swagger, I'm not a fan. I find him bland and boring as hell, but as for where he ends up, I could see him moving more towards MMA rather than the Indies. Not the UFC, but maybe train for a while, then fight for World Series of Fighting or Bellator or promotions like that. Thanks for reading the damn email and keep up the good work. Kata, out."
Bellator versus Bobby Lashley, Jack Swagger.
Oh, no, that just sounds horrendous.
It does. We'll have Ken Shamrock.
I'm going to be honest, I've not liked Jack Swagger for a long, long time. I've never really been a fan of him at all.
What is it about him that you don't like? Is it his lisp?
No, I just feel that he's got no real character as such. No matter what they've done with him, he's never had any real character. He's always been that flat way that Kata refers to. He's always been quite bland, and it's never going to interest anybody, really. Let's face it, they tried giving him the pushes, they tried hooking him up with Zeb Coulter, and even that didn't really do much for him. Zeb was over like the moon, but Swagger, nothing.
They tried to make him like this, like, jock sort of, I don't know, that's what he reminds me of. You know them high school movies?
Yeah.
And you get like the dumb football player.
Yeah.
Like the dumb jock football player. That's what he reminds me of.
He's and always the arty lead character for most of the movie and becomes a nice guy at the end.
Me nurse now. Yeah, no, he's just, he is bland. But sometimes being bland's good because it means you've got a lot to work with because you are a blank canvas.
Yeah.
You know, you could completely change him up. It's all about if he's wanting to and willing to.
I don't think he's got the commitment to character, though, for any character. I mean, We the People was all about that Zeb Coulter position and things, and the catchphrase, it was all it was, Zeb Coulter and the catchphrase, because there's nothing much for Cesaro.
No. But at least Cesaro's got something about him.
Yeah, he certainly has. I'd much rather see Cesaro any day of the week than Swagger.
Another guy that could go for an hour quite easily.
He actually could. And that, again, that brings up other thoughts as well as to who he could be contending with for an hour. But in terms of Jack Swagger, I know what he can do for an hour. He can decide what he's going to do for the rest of his life and piss off.
Me gone now.
Bye-bye.
Sorry, me gone now.
Actually, what he can do is he can get Rosa Mendez, throw her over his shoulder, grab their bags and walk.
You leave my Rosa alone.
I've been nowhere near you, Rosa.
Jesus Christ, that was horrendous, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you used it as the intro, jeez.
Man, that was me taking the piss a little bit.
What is wrong with you?
Although I want to know what he's leading to, because they were teasing something in that promo, so maybe there is something interesting to come out of them after all. But we'll see.
Legend, guess what?
What?
couldn't give a fuck. And I certainly couldn't give a fuck about Summer Rae teaming up with Rusev.
Yeah, what the fuck was that all about?
Haven't got a clue. But again, don't care.
Yeah, well, there's obviously something of a plan, but I don't know what it is. I don't see where it's going to be. I'm not a real big fan of Rusev.
More of a dampener on a guy who's on the injured list.
Right, okay, let's weigh this up. Would you rather watch Rusev or Swagger?
Oh, Rusev. Rusev's an excellent performer.
Right. So therefore, there's the decision made. Let's let Swagger go. We can let him go. Can you see Rusev in an hour-long match with anyone?
Yeah, I could.
But
yeah,
who? Who would be your man?
For Rusev?
Yeah.
I think he's got good chemistry with Cena.
Right.
You know, I don't know, though. It's difficult because I haven't seen enough of Rusev with enough people, if you know what I mean, to see Harry's chemistry, because I never saw him in NXT.
Right. I was never that keen on him in NXT because they had them. Oh, he was dressed in some leather skirt, for want of a better word. It just looked ridiculous. It was like they were stereotyping to the nth degree of Bulgaria 600 years ago.
I think he'd do a good 1 hour with Lana.
I bet he's done a few already.
I'd watch that. But yeah.
Digressing big style here. Let's get straight back into the conversation. So we've chatted quite a bit about Dolph Ziggler. The Jack Swagger thing, he can go. I don't really care where he goes. I don't really want to see him again. He was obviously signed by Jim Ross, and Jim Ross, what would he do with him if he was in this position right now? He'd probably tell him to go elsewhere.
So.
I reckon Jim Ross would be telling him to walk anyway. So he should just walk, be done with it, find something new, reboot, and start again.
That'd be a weird conversation with Jim Ross and Jack Swagger, wouldn't it?
Oh, there'd be a whole lot of saliva when they go in that conversation.
Oh, word.
Anyway, let's tie that up and put an end to the email. So thank you to everyone that's emailed, Kata Grandem III, Dermot, and obviously Andy Anderson for your MP3. If anyone else wants to send us an email, you can do secondshiftpod@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can always tweet us any thoughts and comments you have to @secondshiftpod.
I do want to quickly say that GBL, I gave you the wrong email address. So yeah. I apologise, we didn't read yours this week. But
it's all on him, GBL, wasn't me.
On me.
So he's GBL, like hopefully, Shaggy. Hopefully GBL is something we can chat about next week. So do send it back on to us at the email address we just said, secondshiftpod@gmail.com, and we can maybe look at it then or update it if you need to do so. Right, so on that note,
cool.
Well, we can't do What Wrestling Taught Me since Kai's dropped off the call. Thanks, Kai.
Muppet.
Means we don't get to hear this.
You know nothing, Kai Valentine.
You had something all worked out as well, but there you go. Never mind.
Well, in place of that, I wrote a joke yesterday.
I write
jokes all the time. They're always rubbish. Right? But I thought it'd be apt because I weren't on last week. Right?
Go for it.
I was following a funeral procession the other day,
mm-hmm.
and the ashes were going everywhere. I said to my mate, shall I let him know? He said, nah, don't worry about it. It's just dusty roads. Because I was in a car on the road. It was dusty. So dusty roads.
I see what you did there. And if I had
I told you, my jokes are rubbish.
If I had a gusty wind sound effect, I'd hit it right now.
I know. My jokes are pretty rubbish, but I like writing them.
As long as it keeps you entertained for the time you're writing them.
I usually write my jokes like in between days where I don't write lyrics and stuff. I feel like writing something different. I write jokes. And they're always terrible like that. They're probably bad jokes, really, aren't they?
Well, do you know what? If you ever have another one and you feel you should air it on the show for everyone else to hear it.
What do you mean, another one? I am having another one.
I know, but if you ever tell us, if you ever come up with any more of these jokes and you feel it's something you want to share with the folk on the show, let the world hear it.
Okay, I will. I'll write more of my brilliant... I'll share my jokes with you.
So, Anne, let's kind of have a look back at what we've watched over the last week in terms of wrestling. Did you catch the Tough Enough show that was on the network?
No, I did not, because it's not on the network.
No, the first... They've done a show where they cut from the 40 to, I think it's 12 or 13 contestants.
Yeah, I saw the... They had an exclusive, right, where they get down to the 30.
Yeah. Did you watch that then?
I did watch that, and that was... I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I'm not a massive fan of reality shows. It's not really my bag.
Yeah.
But yes, I did watch that and I thought it was really good.
And did you feel
the new show's out?
Yeah.
And we can't get it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted to bring up. I mean, there was certainly scope there for something that could be quite an entertaining show over the next number of weeks. But, and this is the big but, when you've got an audience in the UK who are demanding product like this all the time, you have to have a way to let us see it, basically. And if you can't put it on the network because you've got an agreement with USA, then you have to find an avenue for letting us see it over here, whether it's through Sky, whether it's through YouTube, whether it's through some other network, anywhere else.
Well, let me just say that they have stated on their website
that
most countries that won't have it on TV will have it on YouTube.
Yeah, I'd heard that.
I've been searching YouTube. There's nothing on there.
No, I saw whether
it will be up retrospectively, like i.e. tomorrow, I'm not sure. So I'm not going to shit on them just yet. But let me do, I will say this. Algeria, Bahrain, Chad, Djibouti, Egypt, the Gaza Strip, Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Kuwait, Libya, Mauritius, Morocco, Palestine. There you go. Saudi Arabia. So Osama bin Laden gets it. Syria. So ISIS get it. United Arab Emirates, the West Bank and Yemen. I can go on and on. The Vatican City. So the Pope can get it as well.
So how do they get to see it then? Where are they watching it?
They watch it on some new Asian sort of new channel.
Right.
And in Italy, they get it on Sky Italia, which is obviously different to our Sky.
Yeah.
And yes, other countries outside the United States can watch the series live on YouTube.
Right.
Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, it's gone past Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's not on your YouTube for the UK.
But there, you said something there. You said the very key word, which is live. So do we have to stay up to 1 a.m. to watch that on YouTube?
Yes, you'd have to be up at 1 a.m. Which, 8 p.m. Eastern. So if it is live,
1 a.m.
Yeah, 1 a.m. to watch it on a Tuesday.
Yeah, because we don't have work the next morning.
So thanks, WWE. Oh, God, my microphone's gone. WWE for shitting on us again. I was throwing my arms around then. I got overzealous.
All impassioned.
Oh, yeah, it's me Italian coming out.
Certainly sounds like it.
Well, if I was in Italy, I'd get it, wouldn't I? So I wouldn't do it.
I mean, at the end of the day, we've got Sky in this country. We've got Virgin Cable for anyone who has that. There's so many different channels out there for them to find an avenue for us to be able to see it. They need to do something to make it visible for us. If you can't let us see it on YouTube or whatever, find a channel. And yeah, you might not get a lot of money from a channel for showing it, but a little bit of money is better than none. And at least you've got a pile of fans watching. You can then vote on the app that you're punting on all your other shows.
Yeah, or they could have sold this to Sky in, as part of their deal.
Yeah, well, exactly.
As bait, as extra bait. It seems silly to me, but
actually, it's just
we get
pool main event. Pool main event put in Tough Enough.
What?
Well, didn't main event get taken off the network because of the agreement with Sky?
Yeah.
Right. So take main event off of Sky, put on Tough Enough. Simple swap.
Yep. Simple swap and effective.
Yeah. That's exactly what I think, and then that way the main event
can go back on. Do you reckon Sky would
want
Tough Enough though? Because where would you place Tough Enough on Sky?
But this would be the thing actually, because it wouldn't fit on Sky Sports. It would need to go on the likes of Sky One or something like that.
Yeah, Sky One, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So.
Or because it's reality, some would say Sky Living. Ouch! Don't put it on there, please.
Well, what's Total Divas on?
I don't watch it, so I couldn't tell you.
It's on one of those bullshit channels.
Yeah.
Something like Sky Living or something, but.
Sky Dirge.
Sky Flange.
That
Devil
more
Vamp
like
loves it.
Does he?
How can you watch that shit?
It says a lot if Devil Vamp loves it,
doesn't
it?
I'm not a massive fan of these reality things because they're all just nonsense, aren't they? They're all bullshit scripted. So they clearly know the direction they're going to go in, and they're going to push the one or two people that they're going to push. Because I already watched a little clip and they're making one bloke out to be a right arsehole. So so he's not going to get votes from the public. So, it's just one of those ones.
Yeah. Well, let's take a transition in terms of reality to go from Tough Enough to Swerved. Now, I know, Ant, from chatting before we started recording tonight, it's not the kind of show that you're into. I watched Swerve last night. It's only 21 minutes long or something like that. And I actually found it quite entertaining. I'm not a big Jackass fan. I haven't really watched much of that over the years. I've not watched Punk'd or anything like that much either. But I thought I'd give it a shot, and I did laugh. I laughed quite a bit through it. I thought it was quite funny. So I'm going to kind of hold on another couple of weeks, see if it gets a bit stagnant after a couple
like
of weeks.
Is it like Beatles about?
It's a kind of like that. I mean, for example, let's take the scenario. They were faking doing a cookery program presented by Renee Young. So they're about to do these very healthy nachos, and they've got, you know, they do it with Xavier Woods, they do it
healthy
with Natalia.
Nachos.
Yeah. And so
oh, yeah, it's America, yeah.
Giant bowls of cheese, they've got all these cloches all set out. So you open the cloche to get to the cheese, you open the cloche to get to this, that, or the other, the different bits of the food. And they work their way around, and they're putting their stuff on the plate. And obviously, we need the nachos. So if we start off by taking some nachos out of the dish, and say it's Natalia, she lifts off the cloche, and there's Hornswoggle underneath.
Yeah, that just sounds horrendous to me.
It was actually pretty funny. The best reaction was actually when Xavier Woods pulled off because he literally did shit himself.
It's not my comedy.
No, no, I don't think it was. I get your comedy is totally different from that. And that's the thing with these kind of shows. It'll work for some. It won't work for others. I know Kata said on Group Me earlier that he really liked it. So it is one of those.
Says a lot to Kata, don't it, really?
Kata, take that up with Ant yourself. Don't put it in my direction. But that's, I mean, I don't think it's going to have much for a long season because it's the kind of thing, you know, they'll run out of ideas too quickly if they start kind of doing 12, 13, 15 weeks. So I reckon probably maybe 6 or 8 weeks it should be enough for that, then give it a break, then bring it back later in the year or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those little, I think it's a filler show, you know.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for real juicy things to come on the network. Like the original specials. I want some more original specials.
I think some of those will have to be, you know, the way they've been getting the audience numbers, I think they're definitely going to be on the cards sooner rather than later.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's jump back to other shows on the network. Did you watch NXT last week?
I did, yeah.
And your thoughts, anything stand out for you that was particularly interesting?
Yes, Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, that's going to be an epic battle when it goes down.
Yeah, I'm following Kevin Owens. Everything he does, I'm there.
So when there. You say you're following him, you're not literally following him, are you?
I would do. I would, theoretically and literally.
Just make sure you keep a good few paces.
Yeah, I don't want to get powerbombed. But he's just, everything he touches is gold. Everything he has touched for a long time has been gold. So, but now he's just been, they've let the reins off him and not Roman, but... But yeah, it's fantastic and can't wait to see him, what he can do with Samoa Tyson Indra.
Come on, that's not fair. It's been said that it wasn't his fault.
Well, it was his fault. It's not. He did do it.
It's not my fault.
It's not like it weren't him.
It was his fault. No, but it was one of these things that could have happened to anyone. It wasn't because he did it, he botched the move or anything.
No, he didn't do it intentionally, but he did do it.
It wasn't being a klutz is the point. It just happened.
13 months out for poor old Tyson. That's a kick in the balls, that really is, because there's so much momentum behind those two.
Yeah, obviously there was a big fear that Cesaro was going to be punted to the wayside for quite a while, but fortunately he returned on SmackDown on Friday.
And had a great match with Kevin Owens again.
Certainly did.
So, yeah, God, man, he put his body on the line on that match.
And the way he took the pop-up powerbomb was very good as well, just so smooth.
Yeah, no, fantastic. So yeah, really enjoyed NXT. Yep. I actually enjoyed SmackDown as well.
Good. And SmackDown,
like Alice.
On average, SmackDown's a lot better these days than it was a year ago as well.
It certainly has been a lot better. Probably for the last 6 to 7 months, I'd say. It's been a lot better. So, yeah, they're certainly putting a little bit more emphasis on it, which is good.
Yep.
Both Dallas was amazing. Him with Lana and Dolph was just having in stitches. That was my favourite from SmackDown, definitely. Raw, I weren't that over them.
I felt Raw was pretty run-of-the-mill a bit this week.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It was okay, it was serviceable, got a few bits of business dealt with, but I think this, because we've had a month of 2-week build to events, and now we've suddenly got this 5-week window, it's like, let's not rush this, let's just pace it out a bit. And that's what the show felt like, that we were pacing it out a bit.
Yeah, it's the aftermath of the big storm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, we're just quietening down again before it rears up again. Yeah,
I mean, the opening with Brock and Heyman was obviously a sensible move, gets folk a bit interested at the start, but they had to fill that 3-hour slot, and there was so much in there. And this is where the argument that some folk have for going back to 2 hours kicks in. When you've got 5-week bills like this, if you only had a 2-hour show, it wouldn't feel like you were stretching so much across the board and shoving Terminator adverts for Roman Reigns.
Maybe his kid loves Terminator.
Maybe she does.
That's where we're going. But no, it's good to have Brock back. It's even better to have Paul Heyman back. Sorely missed, he's been. He just adds a whole other dimension to what the other guys have just been doing on their own. And he just adds that extra little angle. And it's fantastic. I'm loving it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was just one of those quieter roars.
Yeah, I mean, we've been very clear here. We've not actually said, you know, oh, Raw was shite. We didn't go anywhere like that, but it was one after the weeks we've had recently. You're going to get one or two of these at the moment, just till they get the pot boiling again, ready for Battleground.
I do feel myself exhausted for 3-hour Raw, but I've felt like that for years. I'd love it to be 2 hours. I just think,
to be honest, so would I.
You know, a 2-hour Raw would be perfect for me, because then I could watch NXT straight after it and have the NXT recorded from the weeks before and just watch it straight after and have that as my 3 hours done.
Yeah.
It's just, I watched it this week and it dragged. And you just feel a bit like that sometimes at Raw. There could be amazing things in there.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's all the Terminator. Ugh.
Yeah, so let's go into one of the more kind of key points from Raw, and we touched on it earlier. What was your feeling overall on the Bray Wyatt promo, bringing him out to Roman Reigns, obviously Roman in the middle of the match,
just
having to leave the ring?
I love his new sinister side. It's just fantastic. He's definitely got his mojo back. They've given it back to him.
Yeah,
and he's got his mojo back, but with a sinister twist. So. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I'm loving it.
And
loving to see how it goes.
Do you like the way they're playing with Roman's daughter in the storyline then? Obviously being a father of a daughter yourself.
I love it. I think it's great because it brings a human emotion out of a guy that no one likes.
That's exactly where I stand on it. Because as soon as you start playing with something that seems real and tangible, that's always going to bring a reaction. It's always going to bring a natural gut instinct reaction.
Exactly. And that's how you start getting behind people.
Yeah, and it also makes Roman's job that little bit easier and more believable when he's presenting that reaction, that emotion to the audience as well.
Absolutely.
And you can see him, he had those little moments of, really, you're doing this with my daughter? You can see it in his face. You can see him thinking it through. It's like, and then that moment he turned back to almost go back to the match. He's like, no, I need to get out of here. I'm going to find you. I'm on my way. There was actually a bit of believability in that, which if you looked at him a few months ago, he wasn't really selling the responses that well.
I'm over on him. I'm over on the guy. I think he gets way too much stick.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's fantastic. I really rate him. I'm rating his in-ring.
Yeah,
he's, you know, the guy fucking jumps over the ropes,
launches himself.
You get a Browning point for me for doing that.
Absolutely, and I think that's a great point.
And you know, he's putting himself on the line. He's got to fight through the IWC shit, and he will. I think he will. He'll get one over. And when you start, like I said, you start playing with emotions and things, you start getting a bit of gravitas behind you. People start believing in you a little bit more. And I think Bray is giving. It's incredible because Bray is giving someone a push, but Bray is giving Roman a huge push.
Yeah, he certainly is.
And hats off to Bray for that as well.
In a certain way, that's really what Bray's been doing a lot, you know, over the last year. And he took the rub from Undertaker, but at the same time, he was getting the Undertaker over at the same time.
Absolutely.
And doing so with a damaged leg.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. I'm really over on Bray. He's got a huge career to go, and I love this more sinister side of him. It's really, really good.
And it's also really interesting how different he is from his brother. I mean, you obviously touched on his brother a little bit ago. Such different characters.
His brother's going to have a huge career as well. He's 21 years old.
Yeah.
He's the youngest person out of anyone, out of any of the gentlemen, in the roster. So he's got a huge career ahead of him, Bo. He really has.
Kind of thinking back, and there was a point when he went out injured with a, and I think it was a split kidney, was what I remember from it. And it was actually, everyone was speculating at the time that he was going to be, you know, done. He wasn't going to get back into the ring after that.
I mean, a split kidney sounds horrendous.
It does. And how the fuck do you split a kidney?
Oh my God. That sounds painful as hell.
Yeah, in every which way, and for the few months after that, he should recuperate as well.
Oh my God, but yeah, no, I'm glad he's back and he's doing well. He's still young, he's still healthy at the moment, so yeah. He's good. He's got a good future.
Absolutely. So that's a wee bit on board Dallas. And do you know what? I'm looking at my notes here, and we can't do a quiz that we're going to do tonight.
No, can't do the fucking quiz.
So we'll have to keep that for next week.
Yep.
So I think we just need to move on to our final thoughts and start wrapping up for the evening.
Yeah, let's do it then.
Do you have a final
short
thought
and
for us?
Sweet.
Yeah.
What?
Do you have a final thought for us?
Yeah, I want to talk about two things. First thing, Johnny Gargano.
Johnny Gargano, go on then.
On NXT.
Yes.
Match against Yuhan Nation. My boy, Yuhan Nation. Can't wait to see him in the ring. Yeah, amazing. What do you reckon of that, Johnny Gargano?
So I thought that was interesting signing. Certainly Heavyset has been calling for that for a long time.
I don't think he's signed, though.
No, well, but it's the first step in the door, though, isn't it?
Sure is. And yeah, I'm really excited about that. Yuhan Nation and Gargano obviously have worked together before.
Absolutely.
So obviously great chemistry. And I've heard they had a great match. So, yeah, God, they're just bringing these. They're bringing these, the best of the best indies guys.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, if Johnny Gargano's come in, he wants to go in there and shine like a star. He needs to, you know, put his best game in play because he wants to get signed, let's be honest. He wants the money. Yeah. If you're in the business and you don't want the money, then what are you really doing? But, yeah, if he's had that opportunity, let's hope he's put in an absolute stormer of a match because he wants to get on that NXT roster alongside Yuhan Nation. And is he keeping his name? Is that the case? Do we know?
Who, Yuhan Nation?
Yeah.
I believe he is, yeah.
So there we go. That's two recently that have managed to keep their name as they've been signed to NXT. Is that going to be the way of the future? You have to ask yourself.
I don't know. It's quite a catchy name, isn't it, Yuhan Nation?
Yeah. So. And that was one of the things as well. When Joe first came out, when I heard the music, and it had those little chants that sounded like ooh ha, ooh ha. For a second, I didn't actually think it was Joe. I thought, oh, is Yuhan Nation is he debuting now? Oh, I didn't see that coming.
I hate Samoa Joe's new music. I really do.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it at all.
Oh, I don't mind it at all.
I don't think it suits him.
And there's a good chance that that's interim.
You are?
There's a good chance it's just an interim bit of music. So
oh, yeah, more than
where they're going with
more him. But to me, you got Kevin Steen.
Yeah.
Johnny Gargano, possibly, Yuhan Nation. All you need for to get my fucking four horsemen of wrestling in the last 5-6 years, get Ricochet in there, man. Get Ricochet in there. And then you've got my four horsemen.
Sounds like a very interesting little group as well. So speaking of, obviously, independent talent within NXT, for former independent talent in NXT, Hideo Tami, it was mentioned by yourself earlier that he's got an announcement on NXT this week. Any idea what that's going to be?
I don't know. I don't want to speculate and say, oh, he's done or he's not. You know, I'm disappointed that, because there's that Japanese thing on Saturday. Is it this Saturday?
It's 4th of July.
4th of July. Is that this? That's, when's that then?
Two weeks' time. Yeah.
I'm hoping what he says then correlates with that, maybe. Mm-hmm. That's my hope.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's true. You know, I'm just
my gut instinct is he's going to say that he's going to be there. He won't be in a match, but I think he's going to say he's going to be there and he's on the road to recovery. He'll be back in the ring in the next few weeks, is my guess. But that's all it is, a guess.
I'd certainly like to see him at that event. Well, he's definitely going to be at that event, isn't he?
Oh, he's going to get his pop as well.
So yeah.
Okay, and you said you had a second point to bring up.
My second point is, which is my final thought really, that Wayne was a bit negative last week, wasn't he?
He was, unfortunately.
But Wayne, this is the best time to be a wrestling fan. To me,
it's
the year 2000. I've not felt better as a wrestling fan since the year 2000. And I mean that. That's 15 bloody years. And
just look back over the last hour what we chatted about. I've not seen very much new and negative comments other than Jack Swagger over the last hour.
Well, yeah, that's rightly so. But so yeah, 15 years, I think wrestling's the best it's been now. I really do. I think it's amazing. I've so much good stuff now. You know, can you imagine, even 2 years ago, we were looking at people on top, like Kevin Steen. And you just, really? And, you know, Adrian Neville, like Pac. Is Pac going to make it to WWE? Yes, he's made it, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an Attenborough, Rollins, and people like that. It's just an incredible bunch of youth that they have.
It really is. The landscape has flipped, hasn't it?
It surely has. It really has. It's big, big time as well. And it's just a great, great time to be a wrestling fan because we're seeing these youngsters come in now and we're going to progress with them their whole careers. And they're going to be stellar careers and a lot of them are going to have Hall of Fame careers.
Exactly. And what it does now as well is it opens up the opportunity for the likes of Big Show and Mark Henry to step further back and you know, Kane as well, obviously, to look towards retirement now because, you know, there's plenty of folk to start stepping into the roles.
I think so. I think that's the way they've got to start looking towards now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're not necessarily as big as any of those three, but, you know, you've got big cast coming through who's that close to that 7 foot mark. You've got Rusev in terms of mass. You've got Big E in terms of mass. You've got a few kind of big guys already there that are still very young in their career who can easily, you know, build up to those places in the roster over the next few years.
The pieces are there. This is just about putting the jigsaw together properly.
Absolutely right. Kind of put the finishing touches, put on a few ribbons, a few bows, make it all beautiful in the end.
Absolutely.
And for my final thought this week, just a little bit I read about the Wolves and why they didn't sign with WWE. I thought it was quite interesting. Did you read about that?
No.
Apparently it was to do with, and I'm going to say it was David Richards, I'm sure it was David, not Eddie, but basically his lifestyle is split between two lives. He's working towards getting a doctorate and he's got his family side of things that he's trying to keep, you know, on the go and make sure he spends time with family.
Right.
At the same time, he's trying to keep a full-time wrestling career. If he'd gone to NXT, he'd have had to shelve his doctorate and his medical studies and his family time to be at the performance centre at least 5 days a week, every single week, hardcore. By signing with TNA, it meant he could get the flexibility. As soon as he was done with NXT, as soon as he knew he was done with NXT, he was basically signed within minutes to TNA to a much more flexible schedule that he could work to, that, you know, that could accommodate all the things that he wanted to do with his life, so that no matter what happened, he had his fallback and he's got his time with his family, which is obviously very special and important to him. So it was actually a really interesting read to see that, you know, sometimes it's not about the money, it is about life and being able to make sure that you've got a future after wrestling as well.
But what about, because there is people in WWE who are going through doctorates and things like that. So,
you know, Xavier Woods is trying to get his...
Exactly, look at Xavier Woods. So, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, you know, when you start looking like the behind the scenes things of what people got to do and you hear their stories, it is truly fascinating. Even someone like Adam Rose. You know, you look, when did you see that documentary?
E60.
Yeah.
ESPN E60, I thought it was a very interesting show.
It's a very interesting show, and it brings back that sort of that life element to it, the real life element. And when you see someone like Adam Rose just working his ass off to do something for his kid, who's probably not going to be around in 10 years' time.
But
he's doing it for his child. It sort of breaks my heart a little bit that, you know, you're shitting on him and everyone saying he should be gone and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, these people are people, and it's their livelihood. So, you know, I don't. Thankfully, I haven't got people running around in my office saying, "I hate you. You're shit. You should be sacked." You know, I hate your entrance music. Every time you walk into work, your entrance music shit. You need to change that.
I hate the way you answer the phone.
Yeah, the way you answer that phone is terrible. You've got no communication whatsoever.
The way you make the tea, absolutely terrible making the tea.
Yeah, tea boy, cool. Those days are gone. But yeah, so, you know, good on all of the superstars. But
yeah. We all know how hard life it has to be being on the road all the time, and also the way that things work behind the scenes as well, you know, trying to juggle all the notes you must get bombarded with as soon as you walk backstage every time, you know, and you've got to take that, digest that, and then try and step away, you know, and then think back, I've got a family to do, I've got to phone home now, make sure everybody at home's okay, and
exactly, especially when you are on the road so much, and it's such a dog eat dog sort of world.
It certainly is.
You know, so I do respect all of them, but I'm still going to shit on them from time to
time. Well, Ant, it's been lovely talking to you tonight.
You too, mate. Just the two of us. Just the two of us.
Something we've never actually done, just the two of us like this.
It's the first time it's ever been done, mate. First time, first ever second shift with just two people, isn't it?
No, Wayne and Kai.
See
that? Look how it's split. It's normally you and Wayne, or it's me and Kai doing stuff, you know.
No.
But we've split. We've gone the other direction.
Split. Now we've got the real Bob in the room.
I have the real Bob in the room, yeah. Oh, Kai, that's a challenge for you. We'll set that up for WRX SummerSlam.
Yeah, do it.
You versus Kai for your spot and Bob.
I'll take a fall.
Well, on that note, let's start rounding up and say your goodbyes.
Yeah, you can find me at MC Vigilante on the Twitter, and obviously on the DSJMP network and the Trending Topics networks on such shows as The Conversation and Cerebral Sour.
Awesome. Well, good to have you on this week. And as always, you can tweet us any comments to @secondshiftpod, or you can email us secondshiftpod@gmail.com. Been an interesting show, which is the two of us really enjoyed tonight. Thank you all for listening. You can find me on Twitter @livinglegend148. But for now, the living legend, as always, has now left the building.
Thanks for listening. Bye.